Yeah! Here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. So a great big show planned for you guys today because we got a great big game coming up. Of course, I'm talking about Wizards versus Spurs tonight in San Antonio, the game everybody is talking about. We do have a pick for that game. Actually, I am not lying. In all seriousness, though, a great-looking Super Bowl coming up between the Chiefs and the 49ers. A two-week break, though. Oh, my God, what are we going to do with ourselves? Well, we have an avalanche of props and other type of picks that we can dig into. We're going to get started with our Super Bowl. Well, what Super Bowl is this? I said this on the show the other day. 57, maybe? I don't know what number it is. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, we get some handicapping to start. We're going to rehash a lot of the glory and the mistakes that we witnessed yesterday. A lot to break down. That will be in the second half of the show with Jason Logan. But this is a picks program, so let's start with some picks here in the NBA. Let's start by bringing in our guy, the Ass Man, John Mettler. John, how are you making out?
I'm kind of excited because, you know, the sports books are locked in on trading all those Super Bowl props, so hopefully they're not paying attention to, I'm sure someone's not paying attention to Wizards Spurs tonight, so we can get a little action there.
There we go. Yeah, Wizards Spurs, the game everyone is talking about. Yeah, I need all the help I can get here, John. Full disclosure, full transparency for those of you watching. I'm getting my ass kicked in the NBA since the calendar switched to 2024. Here I went 1-0 with my pick so yesterday, so hopefully I can build off that here today. Three spots that I do like very much. John has three as well. So let's get into it here, John. We have the Phoenix Suns down in Miami. The Phoenix Suns blowing a lot of games here lately. What is going on with them? Second end of a back-to-back. They blew that one versus John's Orlando Magic there. Yesterday, we each have a prop in this one targeting one of the sharp shooters for Phoenix. My best bet for this game, I'm going to take Devin Booker to go under his point total of 30.5 points. Now, I know he's been absolutely lights out here lately, but he has been flat out bad in the second game of a back-to-back lately. Check out this month. They played in three back-to-backs already. He has point totals of just 16, 20, and 10 in those games. A bit of a carryover from last season where he wasn't at his best in the second of a back-to-back. He averaged 24.2 points in the spot last season. And here's the thing. Miami does a good job of defending the guard position. The second fewest points allowed to guards over the last 10 games. They played him back on January 5th and held him to 20 points. And the Heat aren't an easy team to cook by any means. I know they're not great here lately, but they have been really strong at limiting free throws and points in the paint. So those high percentage looks, Miami doesn't allow a whole lot of them. Not a lot of easy buckets. They do play at a very slow pace as well. So I will take Booker to go under 30.5 points. John, you're targeting it and his teammate, Kevin Durant. What do you like for him?
Yeah, this is kind of nice because he's kind of play off each other. We didn't even really talk about this. So I'm going Kevin Durant over 23.5 points. Kind of to even just say what you just said about limiting free throws. Kevin Durant had 40 points maybe five games ago, and he shot zero free throws. So that kind of helps here with the Heat too. Just for Kevin Durant, like I woke up this morning, I saw 23.5, and I was like, whoa, 23.5, that's pretty low for Kevin Durant. So like, how did we get there type thing? But he just had three straight unders, and he went considerably under two of the totals. Like, if you look closer at those games, it's not necessarily like something that should be concerning. So the one game, you know, is against the Mavericks, it's a 30-point blowout. You don't really need Durant. Booker had, I think, 46 or something crazy. He shots like 17 or 23 from the field. It's like, you're just going to feed Booker. Like, he's very efficient. He has the matchup advantage, all that stuff. Then you go next game against the Pacers. Durant goes under again. Same thing. Booker drops 62. So like, it's kind of like a Booker game type thing, but these are setting Durant's way under his total. So it's coming down to like, before these three unders, he was trading at 29.5. You're 6 points lower to 23.5. I don't think it's necessarily because of Durant, just because Booker had these big games and like kind of the style of the game they're playing. And then last game, he goes under yesterday. That was against the Magic, but he was going against Jonathan Isaac. And this is someone I talked about last week, who from a defensive perspective is a nightmare for every team. His minutes are going up. He's like the perfect matchup to like guard Durant, and he was locking him up. So when you flip today, kind of like almost Jonathan Isaac is bringing Durant's total down, but Jonathan Isaac doesn't play for the Heat, right? So I just think this is a great spot for Durant. I think it's a great buy low. I think his totals come down quite a bit here. And it's not necessarily because he can't score, hasn't been scoring, or isn't involved in the Suns offense. It's just kind of like the way those three games played out. So,
yeah, a bit of a surprising number there. It looks a little low to me as well. Okay, next up, we have the Knicks in Charlotte taking on the Hornets. I'm going to take New York to cover this spread. A bit of a big one, -9, but we got a great case for it here because New York does not play down to the competition. They've been obliterating bottom feeders all season long. They beat Portland by 26, Washington by 16, Charlotte by 24, Charlotte by 14, and another one, Charlotte by 22, and another one. They have a 21-point win over Washington, a 19-point win over San Antonio. You get the point. And Charlotte, really bad right now, a -15.3-point margin over their last 10 games. Their average loss comes by 16.1 points, which is the worst in the NBA. A gigantic defensive gap between these teams. Last 10 games, first versus 30th in opponent EFG shooting percentage. The Hornets are allowing 22 more points per game than the Knicks. And here's what I like about the Knicks, and something you have to consider with a big spread. The Knicks finish strong. They get better as the game goes on. They are first in fourth quarter point margin over the last 10 games. The Hornets, way down there at 26. So give me the Knicks to cover -9 tonight in Charlotte. Okay, back to Prop City we go. Fun looking game in Denver with the Bucks in town. You have a prop for Damian Lillard. What are you looking at here, Mettler?
Yeah, I'm going Damian Lillard over 6.5 assists. So if you rewind to last year when Lillard played the Nuggets, he played them 4 times. When he was with the Trailblazers, he dominated them. And it wasn't even just, so he averaged 37.3 points per game, 9 assists per game. When you go look at these, it's not even like just say he had like a 60-point game and it really inflates the average. Like every game was consistently really good against the Nuggets. And when you look at this total of 6.5, his lowest assist output, so he averaged 9, but he went over this total all 4 times and his lowest total was 8. So like just consistently kind of the Nuggets had a hard time containing him. That isn't why I'm placing this bet, but it just gives you an idea of like how much the Nuggets defense struggled with Lillard in the past. So now he comes in and his teammates are Giannis Antetokounmpo and Brooke Lopez and like Bobby Portis and all these guys. So when Nuggets have already shown you they've had a hard time containing him. And now he's playing with guys who can finish at the rim and like convert potential assists at a higher rate. And like we know Nikola Jokic, one of the greatest offensive players ever. Defense is better than it was in the past. It's not necessarily like an elite defender or anything. He's not someone who's going to protect the rim against Antetokounmpo. So all those like potential pick and roll dump offs to Antetokounmpo's, those should get finished at the rim for Antetokounmpo. You like it from that. I also think the Nuggets are going to put KCP on Lillard. The Bucks should be kind of matchup hunting Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray's a below average defender. So if they're like getting the ball and they're trying to get Murray in, the ball should be in Lillard's hands quite a bit because that's just an advantage they want to take advantage of is getting Murray onto Lillard. Once Murray gets on Lillard, you're going to have to send help. And help just, again, more potential assists because if you're helping, you're probably going to pass. I just think they're going to get involved with Lillard quite a bit here. And when that total at 6.5, and pretty good plus money too on that 6.5. I like the over there.
Yeah, I forget who it was. Speaking of Jokic, someone in the NBA media said over the weekend that they would take Embiid over Jokic in a playoff. Did you see this? I forget who it was. Whoever, and some people were agreeing, you're absolutely out of your mind. Embiid's a fantastic regular season player. Doesn't really show up, though, in the playoffs. Maybe this year will be different. It'd be nice to see if he can get over the hump. But, yeah, I forget who that was. But crazy stuff. Okay, my final NBA pick here of the night. I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks to cover the first half spread against John's Orlando Magic. So Mavericks -2 in the first half here. So this is primarily a fate of the Magic because they have been getting stomped in the first half, 29th in first half point margin over the last 10 games. Some ugly starts for them when in the second game of a back-to-back as well. Give them credit. Impressive comeback win over Phoenix yesterday, but poor starts in the spot. The Cavs had them by 25 at halftime, OKC by 9, Sacramento by 12, the Nets by 22 in a game earlier in the season. So they come out slow in the second game of a back-to-back. And pretty good matchup here for Dallas because their defense is starting strong. Well, Orlando's offense has been awful in the opening half. Ninth in opponent EFG percentage over the last 10 games in the first half there for the Mavericks. Orlando 24th, by the way. But it's really their offense who has been struggling in the first half of these games lately. Their offense 27th in first half EFG, dead last in first half scoring for John's Orlando Magic. So I'll look to fade them in the first half. And whether or not they fare better in the second half, I quite simply do not give a shit because I'm just taking the Hellas in the first half. Okay, let's bring it home here, John. The game that everyone's talking about, I alluded to it off the top, Wizards-Spurs, your pick for this game. What do we got?
Yeah, I'm going Jordan Poole, everyone's favorite player, Jordan Poole, 4+ assists. So this is an alternate total. This total is actually 2.5. It's about like minus 150 it's trading at. So I think that kind of tells you if I'm going after an alternate over how much I do really like this number for Poole. The same reason you're probably going to hesitate to bet on Poole is the same reason we're getting a good number, right? It's just that narrative of him. It's why we keep seeing edges turn up on like a Dylan Brooks and type thing. So for Poole, I bet this on Saturday. It was plus 130 over 3.5. That total actually was 3.5 on Saturday. He lost. I lost. He had 2 assists, but he had 9 potential assists. Okay. So like, we got to look at this from, you know, we didn't win it, but I think everything that I saw in the numbers on Saturdays is still there. This is also very encouraging because he did this. So Wes Unseld's no longer the coach. They tagged interim coach Brian Keefe. His potential assists are way up under this. So this is, it's only 2 games, but still a good sign. The new coach is allowing Poole to create. And it's kind of, this number is kind of running off stats when Wes Unseld was coaching too. So similar to, you know, on Saturdays, he played the Pistons. Today he's playing the Spurs. So it's not like we're had this edge on Pistons. Then we go to like Timberwolves, really good defense, a little more concerning. This should be very similar, kind of like a matchup for the Spurs where Poole can create and should be high scoring, and both actually should be like a pretty good game against these two teams. And also someone like Wembanyama should make him pass the ball once he gets into the lane. So there's kind of just like all these things working together in terms of the alternate total, just where his projection was and like where this plus 155 was, it was about, I think it was 5%. Higher expected value to go after the alternate total. So, I mean, you can still play the 2.5 minus 150-ish if you want to. I'm taking the alternate over just because the math says it's a better play. So we're rolling with that play.
All right, pool party tonight in San pool Antonio. Party. There we have it. John Mettler. John, of course, you'll be back with us later in the week. But until then, tell the good people out there, great viewers and listeners, where they can find your work.
Yeah, covers.com. Rate daily NBA player props. I throw things into the picks page too. And also, I'll give a game preview tonight for the Magic Mavericks. I hope Mavericks win the first half, but lose the second half by a lot. And then also on Twitter, at John Mettler, or X, whatever. Same thing.
Follow the ass man on X. There you have it. Very 2024 right there. Okay, John, thanks for joining us. Best of luck with all of those bets, and we'll catch you again later on in the week.
All right, see you on Thursday.
Go Mavs. Producer Mick cuts him off. I think he was going to say go Magic, actually. That would make a lot more sense than go Mavs. Or maybe he was cheering me on go Mavs in the first half. Okay, let's switch gears. We got a big game coming up here in a couple of weeks. The 49ers and Chiefs. 2-week gap. This is going to be a long break. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself next Sunday. Let's bring in our guy in his traditional Monday spot here. We call him J-Lo around here, Jason Logan. J-Lo, how you making out?
Doing all right. Late night last night with Super Bowl odds hitting the board, and it's a very exciting time. Early morning as well too, so but this is it, and then we get the, like you said, next Sunday. What are you gonna do with yourself? I'm not gonna bet.
It's always
Pro Bowl flag football game, whatever they play now.
I'll be cheering on Tua, baby. Come on now, one last chance before I get to defend him for the next 6 months like I do every off season. I'm sick of it. Okay, no Tua talk on today's show. Just super straightforward question for you. I'll ask you, then I'll provide my answer. Have you placed any bets for the Super Bowl here yet?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I have.
That's your.
well, I know there's one that you and I both have, so I'll just stick with the other two that I have down, and then you can follow suit. But two props for the 49ers, actually. I took Brock Purdy over 11.5 rushing yards. It's at minus 110 out there. Some places have actually moved to 12.5 yards on this one. Purdy definitely not known for his mobility, but against high pressure teams that blitz a lot, teams that have a very high pressure rate, we've seen him have to run for his life. And we saw that yesterday against Detroit, who has the highest pressure rate for a defense in the NFL. He rushed for what, 48 yards, a long of 21. He had to boogie. But what we've seen from him against teams like Tampa Bay, he ran for 13 yards. Cincinnati, another high pressure team, 16 yards. 17 against Minnesota, a team that blitzes at the highest rate in the NFL, and 17 yards versus Pittsburgh in week one. You know, he can make those plays with his legs. And I expect this one to kind of tick up. In Kansas City, among the higher blitz rate teams, I think they blitz at the fifth highest rate, second in sacks, second in pressure rate. They're going to be coming after Purdy. Very good secondary that does force quarterbacks to go through the progressions. He's going to have to get rid of the ball quick or move it with his legs. So I like him to go over 11 and a half rushing yards here, one of the first props. And then kind of dovetailing into that game script with Kansas City being a team that does blitz a lot and bring a lot of pressure. We've seen George Kittle, the tight end for the Niners, be Purdy's safety blanket or safety net in those situations. So I liked his over 48 and a half yards receiving. It's minus 110 at Bet365. It's as high as 52 and a half at some other books right now. And like I said, he's been that safety blanket against high pressure teams. He had monster games against the likes of Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, Minnesota. All of those teams blitz at a very high rate, the same way Kansas City does. In those games, he drew 27 targets. He had 18 total catches. He had 364 total yards against those blitz happy opponents. That's an average of 91 yards per game against those blitz happy schemes. So I expect George Kittle to step up. This is a guy too that always tends to bring it in prime time, and there's no bigger prime time situation than Super Bowl. So I like George Kittle to have over 48 and a half yards, and some of the early projections calling for 50 plus for him too. Game situations tends to set up.
My best bets: heads, orange Gatorade.
Here we go.
Over on the anthem. Usher's first song to be, yeah. No, I don't know. I'll probably get some of those fun ones in.
I don't know if he opens with yeah.
Yeah, you got to figure. Like, yeah, that'll be third or fifth. There's some good ones. Lil Jon and Luda will join him out there. Maybe that could be fun.
Possibly.
I'm sure. People enjoy that. So a couple that I did click on already. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game outright. I'll get into my reasons for that here momentarily. If you do like Kansas City, you're not going to get the best of the number anymore. I think this one opened at a 3-point spread. It quickly went down to 2.5. Mm-hmm. Now it's down to a 1-point spread right now at DraftKings. I'm looking at, I grabbed them on the money line a couple minutes, and I was even a little bit late on that. I got them plus 118. And of course, what have I been talking about basically all season, probably since October, to be fair, maybe mid-October. I think it was the game where they played the Dolphins in Germany where I caught on to this, was the Chiefs second half unders. Mm-hmm. It hit yesterday. They scored just 3 combined points with the Baltimore Ravens in the second half of that game. It's hit in 18 of 20 games, the second half under in Kansas City Chiefs games. I took it at 23 and a half. Some people are telling me it's up to 24 now, so maybe I did not get the best of the number there. But, yeah, that's when I'm going to be talking about it on every single show I go on and all the shows I do here, building up to things. So, I will be right back on that one as well. Let's get into some takes here. Your take on my take. Some of them, nothing too scorching here. But we'll start things off here talking about the game, the Chiefs versus the 49ers. And mm-hmm. my take on the line here, the odds for the Super Bowl, I think the wrong team is favored. And I think the 49ers will get obliterated in this game if they come out and play the same way that they played versus the Packers and the Lions. So Kansas City is the dog. Yeah, a small dog, a minus money dog on the money line. But I think it feels like if San Francisco wins this, it would be much more of an upset. Come on, Brock Purdy beating Patrick Mahomes. I think that would feel like much more of an upset. I think Kansas City is starting to peak here. This is what they're built for. Come on now. They just went into Buffalo and beat Josh Allen. Then they just went into Baltimore, beat Lamar Jackson. I think that they do have the better defense. I don't think it's really debatable at mm-hmm. this point. You dig into it. 41 points allowed in 3 playoff games, 2 of those on the road. San Francisco has allowed 52 points in 2 home playoff games. And the competition that they played hasn't even been close. Let's be fair here. And you look at the 49ers, they were behind for most of that Packers game. The same thing can be said about the game with the Lions, and they needed a lot of breaks to win that game versus Detroit, didn't they? Balls bouncing off, face mask, fumbles, drop passes, questionable play calling on fourth down. I don't think Kyle Shanahan has been especially strong in a tight spot. And if he's in a hole against Mahomes, that's a lot different than being in a hole against Jordan Love and Jared Goff. So, yeah, I think the wrong team is favored here. I think Kansas City picks up the W. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I went with KC Moneyline plus 115 last night. That was about as high. The plus 118, that's a great one. I don't know if I even saw it as high as that one at some places. That's a good number, and we're seeing this one trend downward. And I will note that in 11 of the last 16 Super Bowls, the team that drew the early opinion, the where the line moved towards that team, they have been the right side in 11 of the last 16 Super Bowls. And that's what we're seeing here. I mean, there's a lot of really positive things you can say about Kansas City. They win the QB matchup. It's Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes can win this game. He can put the team on his shoulder, and he can win the game for Kansas City. I don't think you can say Brock Purdy can win the game by himself for San Francisco, but he can definitely lose the game for them. And we see some wayward passes. He got away with a few yesterday as well, too. I think the head coaching edge goes to Andy Reid. Again, we're in that Andy Reid off a bye week. That's always a profitable thing. It didn't cash in, actually, this week or this year because they played Philly after the bye. But Andy Reid, generally, a great game planner. And then Steve Spagnuolo in this defense, he has this defense playing phenomenal football. It's been playing phenomenal football all year. It's always going to keep things close, and it's going to give Patrick Mahomes a chance to win the game. And right now they're playing, I think, their best football. Like you said, they went in to Buffalo. They went in to Baltimore. Two very good offenses, two very good quarterbacks, and did a great job against those teams. And now making those difference plays as well, too. The interceptions, the forced fumbles. And a little danger element that's showing up with this Kansas City team, too. And we've seen Brock Purdy maybe get away with a few close calls that Kansas City might have turned into turnovers. So those are the big things. I think market perception in this one is what drives it. We need to realize that the Super Bowl market and the way the Super Bowl is bet is unlike any other game on the regular season schedule or even in the playoffs. Those lines very much dictated early on by sharp and respected opinions. Here, sportsbooks are bracing for 80% of the action coming in the final 60 hours. And we're going to see market perception from the public. What the public wants to see and wants to bet, that's going to shape this. And there's opportunities for under. So, Joe, where you like that second half under, I expect this total to go up. It will open between 48 and 47. It's at 47 and a half. We're seeing the big on the over tick up. This could be a 48 or 40 half, 48 and a half. Game. And then you come back and you scoop up those unders later on. So if there are some unders and you are looking to bet on the Super Bowl, maybe wait it out, because those popular props, the over on Kelsey yards, yeah, and the over on passing yards, those are all going to tick up and tick up. And then there's going to be a time, generally, at least with the total, what we've seen is kind of that Friday night before the Super Bowl. That's where the buyback comes in. So we see the total tick up a half point, full point, point and a half. And then there's buyback on the under around Friday night. You guys, you know, people start coming in, buying those things. Bet limits go up, so you have bigger bettors coming in and buying back those inflated totals as well, too. So if you're someone that's betting unders, maybe wait a little bit, and you'll get the better number. And especially when it comes to the Super Bowl, and this is going to be overanalyzed so many times, those lines are going to be drum tight and very hard to beat. So,
indeed. Okay, take number two. The Lions, and Dan Campbell in particular, should not be destroyed for what they've done all season. And what I'm talking about is going for it on fourth down yesterday. People have been killing them, and they will be killed in the future. Yes, that was an excruciating loss. Yes, it was a choke. Let's be fair. That was a miserable choke, but a lot of things needed to take place for them to choke that away. And it wasn't just going for it on fourth down that killed them. And this failure is going to be attached to Dan Campbell for the rest of his career. And I don't necessarily think that that's fair. So, people are criticizing the outcome of those fourth down calls. Detroit has gone for it on fourth down all season. They've been pretty successful. Yesterday, it was not their day, but we're probably not talking about Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down right now. Had they converted on at least one of them, had Gibbs not fumbled the ball, had a ball not bounced off a face mask right into Ayuk's hands for a 50-yard completion, had Josh Reynolds not dropped the ball, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And let's not pretend if they kick it, those 3 points are automatic too. Guys miss field goals all the time. Sometimes easy one. That's the guy who was kicking for the Packers there last week. And the thing is, this is who they are. This is what they do. This is what got them to this point. And often we see in Major League Baseball, I'm a fan of the Blue Jays, and we see it all the time where teams change up their pitching strategy just because the stakes are higher in the playoffs. So pull a starter after 60 pitches, something they never do during the regular season, and it absolutely blows up in their face. So when they go away from what they've done all season, it can blow up in the face as well. And the Lions stuck to their guns. This is how they play. And yes, it blew up in their face, but I think people are being a bit too harsh. And J-Lo, I don't think that they deserve to be destroyed at the heights and the level they're being killed for. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's kind of the same, like, you know, if you like diving with sharks and then all of a sudden you get attacked by a shark and die of a shark attack. Are we surprised that you died of a shark attack? It's like, no, the guy loved diving with sharks. And that's, you know, or taming lions and you were mauled by a lion. That's what Dan Campbell was doing. He was, you know, playing dangerous and going for it on those spots. And that's what got them there. And you knew what you were getting into. There's Dan Campbell was that guy from that opening press conference where he talked about biting kneecaps off. And he was that guy until that press conference last night. And he's still that guy this morning when he wakes up and drinks 4 liters of coffee.
Okay. Now I stick up for the Lions a little bit. Now I'm not quite kill them, but a bit of a realistic take here for Detroit. I think replicating this year's success is going to be very, very hard for the Detroit Lions. And I don't know if they will get to this height again under the current regime with Dan Campbell and Jared Goff at quarterback and the guys running the team. And I think this for a couple of different reasons. First of all, kind of flew under the radar that the Lions had a really easy schedule during the regular season. Things also broke really well for them in playoffs, like seriously hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a second round playoff game. So things broke really well for them. We give them credit for beating the Rams there in the opening round. But take a look at them going forward. They're now going to lose offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. By all accounts, it looks like he will be going to the Commanders. He's the best tactician on the staff. There's no doubt about it. One of the best offensive play callers in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. Coordinators matter. Ask the Philadelphia Eagles. Look what happened to Josh Allen. Took a little bit of a step back when Brian Daboll left and took the job with the Giants there. So I think that's going to be a massive loss for them, especially when you consider the defense isn't very good of the Lions. They got some good defensive players, but they stink against the pass. Pretty good against the run. And then they're going to have a first-place schedule as well. You take a look at the schedule next season, much more difficult than what they played this season. They're going to play the Bills, the 49ers, the Cowboys. They also have the Texans and the Rams. Plus, I think their own division is going to be a lot more competitive. We saw the Bears have a much better second half of the season. They're set up to have a pretty strong draft. The Packers, what were they, the youngest or second youngest team in football? I think that they're only going to build off of what they had this season. And the Vikings probably would have been in the mix if they didn't have to play 14 different quarterbacks here this season. So I think the Vikings will be back in the mix as well. So what do you think here, J-Lo, of the Lions going forward? I think it's going to be very difficult for them to get back to this height and a Final Four finish here in the NFL. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're no longer the lovable Lions. You have a target on your back now as one of the top teams in the NFL and a top team in the NFC. You mentioned the leaps and bounds that are expected from teams like Chicago and Green Bay, the way that they have a young team and getting it together and putting these tougher rosters together. So I think the division is going to be much tougher sledding. The schedule was very advantageous towards the back half of the schedule. We saw them only play that one outdoor game in Chicago in November, avoided any real cold weather games in December and January, and played a lot of indoor games in that last like two thirds of the season, really. And I think that really worked to their advantage. The big thing though, too, is Detroit, 68.5% ATS winner under Dan Campbell. The bulk of those profits were built as lovable underdogs. This year they were a favorite in the majority of those games. Next year they're going to be the favorite in the majority of those games. There's going to be a tax to bet on the Lions coming up, and those ATS results are going to dry up significantly. Especially, like I said, the schedule gets tougher. And then also too, you have a target on your back, so you're getting the best from everyone.
Yeah, I think they could be in a little bit of trouble. I feel bad though for Lions fans. You know, I've come on the show and talked about it so many times this season, where the Dolphins have had a really bad loss, and then it messes with my sleep, and I'm cranky, and you know, it just puts me in a bad mood. The losses the Dolphins went through this season, nothing like that loss last night. That was an incredible choke, and a million things needed to happen. There was a combination of bad luck, the play calling, the players were choking and being sloppy. Like, so many things needed to happen for them to lose that game.
Yeah, I think the coordinator hire is going to be the key to the Lions' success next year, because it sounds like Johnson's gone, and you've got a great rah-rah coach, a former player that sets the compass for the team. As I've said, he's the true north of that team, and you surround him with guys who are much smarter kind of football brains. And, you know, that really works. But Ben Johnson's gone. Whoever they hire as an offensive coordinator is going to have to really be something spectacular. And those guys are tough to come by because they're so good. They're either a coordinator somewhere else or they're a head coach. So,
okay. We got to talk Lamar Jackson. We got to talk Baltimore Ravens. Sure. What the hell was that game plan from them yesterday? They came out just flat. First series, 3-and-out. First series for the Kansas City Chiefs, they go down the field and they score a touchdown, a bunch of chunk plays on their way down the field as well. So a lot of blame to go around. And you got to blame Lamar Jackson here a little bit. And my take on him is that he is the Joel Embiid of the NFL. And what a difference a week makes. I was here last week making a case that, hey, if Lamar and the Ravens get by Patrick Mahomes and go to win the Super Bowl, then he might have a claim to be the best quarterback here in the NFL. That is not the case. So I was very, very wrong on that one. So here's the thing. Yeah, Lamar is a Joel Embiid of the NFL. Great regular season player, Hall of Fame talent, electric highlight reel. But he just doesn't have it in the playoffs. And you look at the playoff game logs, he's up to 6 playoff games under his belt now, 2-4 in those games, 6 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. Just some real no-shows here. 17 points or less in each of the 4 losses. What the hell was that yesterday? Throwing in the triple coverage at the end of the game? Like, they weren't out of that game. No. Their defense showed up. We got to give their defense some credit there. Mm-hmm. But it's one thing to lose the game to Patrick Mahomes on your home field. You scored 10 points here, guys. And I know there was the Flowers fumble and stuff, but that was really bad. And I think it's not a good look for Lamar Jackson. Like, sometimes I do think we go overboard with criticizing a quarterback just because the team loses. Like, the week before, you can't really fault Josh Allen very much because they lost that game to the Kansas City Chiefs. But Lamar, it was a no-show. It was not a good performance. I point this out on Twitter. It was, I think, their second series of the game. He took off, and it looked like he was going to be able to break a big run and separate, but he kind of put the brakes on and they tackled him. I was like, I threw that out there on Twitter, and a lot of other people are like, yeah, I kind of noticed that too. Maybe he has an injury or something, but just super flat, man. And I was rooting for them. I really wanted them to get over the hump. I don't know. What do you make of Lamar and my comparison to Joel Embiid, another guy who's come up extremely flat in big spots?
Well, I'm going to say, as it pertains to yesterday's game, I'm going to say Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, gets blamed for the first half. Lamar shouldn't have been in that situation where he had to pass and play catch up. Overall, it should have been running the ball. You know, they played a Kansas City defense that was susceptible to the run. That's what they should have been doing. Second half, though, he just kind of come undone. The Flowers, they had the big play to Flowers. He takes that stupid penalty. He makes a great play, great pass. Flowers fumbles on the goal line. That was definitely gutting. And I think from that point, he was very much rattled, because we saw them taking long shot after long shot over and over again. And then when they did come up on the end zone, I mean, that pass in the triple coverage, trying to find, I think it was likely was the tight end going through the middle. I mean, that was just a bad, bad play. And the thing is that I really liked the way the Ravens kind of conducted their business most of the season. Anytime they had a third down where they were sniffing the goal line, but it was like a third and moderate, they would always go for the first down, get it, and continue to move the chains. They never got greedy, and that's what I really liked about them, because you see a lot of QBs will get it, and they see the end zone, and they really press, and they want to put it in the end zone rather than just progress down the field. And like you said, there was a lot of time left at that point in the game. And, Yeah, I think it just got away from him. He was trying to make up 10 points in one pass, and which is not possible. and let's not take anything away from Kansas City's defense. I mean, this is a very good defense as well, too, and we're going to see that in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so with every Super Bowl, of course, we're going to be beaten over the head with different narratives throughout the media, different storylines in the media. So what do you think the most annoying one's going to be? There's going to be the great Brock Purdy debate. He either sucks or he's elite. There's no in between. You got to pick a side. So there's a great Brock Purdy debate. There's the Taylor Swift stuff, which I'm more annoyed by the people who are annoyed by the people who are annoyed by Taylor Swift. If that makes any sense to you? I understand why people are annoyed by the Taylor Swift thing. They're annoyed with being beaten over the head by, you know, the coverage of her. You know what I mean? So I get it from that standpoint. There's going to be the Patrick Mahomes GOAT stuff. I'm seeing that already.
I think that's the one that I don't care for. The Purdy thing. We've seen worse quarterbacks win Super Bowls, or maybe just as adequate quarterbacks win Super Bowls. And the Taylor Swift stuff, you know what? I'm here for it. Two crazy kids, very talented. Love to see it. And as a fan of fun, crazy Super Bowl bets, I'm sure it's going to make for some awesome Super Bowl props as well too. But the big thing for me is just like the GOAT debate. Like, is Mahomes the GOAT? And Mahomes is, in my eyes, easily a top five quarterback of all time. But I mean, you've got a lot of guys there that, you know, Tom Brady, I don't think anyone's going to beat what Tom Brady did because he did it over a lengthy period of time. You look at Peyton Manning, you know, he was, as a quarterback, someone that, you know, won a Super Bowl with Indianapolis, won a Super Bowl with Denver. Again, probably two. And then you got Montana's out there. That's three. And then you're looking at other things. I definitely believe that winning on the big stage is kind of the biggest jewel in the crown of being a GOAT. So that's why, you know, I'm not going to put your boy Dan Marino in the mix. Great numbers, but just never got it done then. But I see Mahomes as a guy that maybe is Mahomes is a guy who can supplant, maybe get past Joe Montana. And then start to be in that conversation of being in there with Peyton Manning. I honestly see Tom Brady as almost untouchable, quite honestly. Like, just what he's done throughout his career, the numbers back it up, the wins back it up. Just winners, man.
Yeah, I think it's way too soon, especially when we consider that Brady went 2-0 in the playoffs against Mahomes. I think he was north of 40 in both of those games too, Tom Brady. I think Mahomes has the opportunity to pass Tom Brady here potentially. I think you can make the argument that maybe he's more talented in terms of, you know, full body
gifts and his gifts, natural gifts, 100%.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, Brady has six rings here, people. So let's, if we're here doing this show 4 years from
LeBron,
now.
This is a LeBron Jordan debate, too. It's like Jordan's the GOAT because he had the greatest impact. But to me, I look at LeBron as if I just had to pick a basketball player and there was no name attached to it, and these were all the attributes like a 2K, I'd be like, oh shit, I'm going to take that guy. LeBron James, a better basketball player overall and gifted, but Jordan just has that edge, and Brady had that edge, just that winning edge.
Yeah. We could spend an hour doing the, LeBron Jordan.
I'm gonna need some more. I'm gonna need some more coffee.
Maybe we'll do that. You know,
we're stronger.
We're gonna need some stuff to talk about here once Super Bowl. That's right. We'll set aside 2.5 hours to do a LeBron versus Jordan debate here.
Oh boy.
I used to be LeBron, but now I settle on Jordan just because of the fact that he is 6-0 in the finals, and a lot of the stuff to do with LeBron is hypothetical. We'll discuss that another time, maybe. Okay. Pretty good show there today, J-Lo. We'll save some of this stuff. We do have a lot more to discuss. I'll be back on the Sharp 600. We'll get you back here next Monday, where we'll get a bunch of your best bets here for the game. Hopefully, we can beat some of these closing numbers here a little bit. It's great. I remember you've been working in this industry a long time, too. I remember we used to need to wait to usually like Wednesday for player props and stuff to start. I wake up this morning. Hundreds of betting options already available. Yeah. So
I was tweeting out passing props. It was half an hour after the lines went up. There were some sportsbooks actually had passing yard props and passing TD props for the quarterbacks. So yeah, that's madness. It used to be like that Thursday you would start to see some trickle out, And then like the Thursday before the game was when you got like the full menu. Mm-hmm. But now it's, you know, it's such a popular option for everyone that, you know, books are kind of racing to be. Now, I will say probably limits are a lot lower on these early odds right now, and they're going to mm-hmm. use those limits to kind of mold the rest of the market. So, yeah. But yeah, it's great to be able to bet on these things and talk about them right now.
Yes, sir. Okay.
What the hell we're going to talk about next Thursday? Everything will be baked and done and in the oven, and we'll just be picking through Usher props.
Pretty much. All right, my man. Thank you. There we go.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd see some dance moves from J-Lo on the show today. Oh, hell yeah. You have it.
Multifaceted.
All right. There we go. All right, my man. Best of, I would say best. Yeah, you kind of gave out some bets today. So best of luck with those. Best of luck.
Brother, I'm going to need all the luck I can get right now. So.
Yes, sir. I'm with you on that one. All right, my man. Thanks for joining. We'll catch you later in the week in the Sharp 600, which I think we're doing. Maybe not, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah, we'll have one. We'll have one this week. Don't worry about that.
Yes, sir. All right, my man. Take her easy.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, that does it for today's show. Quick reminder, though, guys, like I said, all of just an avalanche of prop betting options available right now. If you see something you like better right now, because you might see it and think, I'll go back in and get a bunch of bets in later. Then you go back in a couple days and the yardage total is 5-6 yards higher than it was when you first saw it. So, yeah, try to get the best of the number, especially with the Super Bowl, ton of public action coming in. On things that I do like the under on for player props, I tend to wait till closer to the game. And sometimes that works to my advantage. Sometimes it does not. But yeah, second half under in Kansas City Chiefs games, baby. You know I am in on that for sure. Okay, so that does it for the show today. If you're watching the replay, guys, hit up the comment section right down there. Let us know what some of your best bets are for the Super Bowl. Let us know if you locked anything in. Also, if there's anything you like in the NBA tonight, drop it down there in the comments section. Give us a little breakdown. Tell us why you like those bets. Make sure you are subscribed to the Coverage YouTube channel. And if you like the show, it's easy to let us know. Just hit the like button right down there. Thank you guys very much for joining us. We will be right back with you on Thursday. Until then, best of luck with your bets. Yeah.